Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express.
Hey, it's the Root.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
You know, it stings. The truth of the matter is, it hurts. And I know it hurts him as well. You know, but you've got to learn from these things. Blake and I have talked about that. There's going to be some tough times. But as long as we learn from it and grow, but we've got to learn and we've got to grow. And, that's the challenge for Blake and our offense.
Head coach Gus Bradley in the post game after the Jags fall to the Miami Dolphins. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli. We'll get the reaction from the Week 8 loss to the Dolphins, 27-13 final. Three turnovers led to the first 17 Dolphins points. Two pick sixes in the game, too. The Jags are now 1-7 at the halfway point of the season. Well, let's start with it, guys. I mean, turnovers, Blake Bortles, growing pains, this and that. But at some point, they're starting to pile up a little bit here, Pete. I mean, you're looking at me like, yeah, whatever, right?
They are what they are. You're growing. You're learning. Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions as a rookie. There are going to be mistakes. Now.
Didn't he throw? He threw like 35 touchdowns too, right? Or 32?
Not in his rookie year. I think I thought it was upper 20s too. But you might be right. I have to go look at it. But look, you're going to make mistakes. It's how you handle them. And I know this town is quick to say it's Blaine Gabbert all over again. They have no earthly idea. The bottom line is you don't want them throwing interceptions. Pick sixes happen. Those are just circumstantial, I think. I don't think that, you know, that happens. It's kind of fluky that they happen. The throw on the bootleg.
That's a great play by the defense.
It was an awful, it was a bad read. I mean, it's
no,
a
but
read.
He
came off his guy. And it's
he suckered him into it. It was a good play by the defense player. That's the least of my
the
worries.
The other one, he was.
Was awful.
He's throwing from one hash to the back shoulder to the other side.
You don't do that play.
And I was told that the hitch was open on the front side.
The seam route. It was a seam route.
Was it? But you can't do that.
You don't throw a back shoulder throw on the opposite hash.
Okay, I'm going to say that I think, and this is just my opinion, and I'm not saying.
Hey, Manning had 26 touchdowns.
Okay, see, I said.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Again, I think they need to cut down on the boots.
Oh, really? That's going to solve the problems.
Hear me out.
Unbelievable.
Hear me out.
That's the worst analysis I've ever heard.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
I just
it was
think
bad.
I don't. I
cut
think
down on the boots. Okay.
They're pretty predictable on the boots. You see a lot of those. And I understand why they do it. They probably don't trust their offensive line, although that line is getting better. I think Linder's going to be a beast.
He's a very good player.
But half field, everything is half field. Let them play whole field.
Okay.
Why?
Well, I mean, there's not that many. That's a handful of plays.
How many boots do you think they run a game?
I bet you they ran five yesterday.
I bet it's more like eight or nine.
I don't think so. Not yesterday.
Mostly, most games.
Yeah,
eight
I don't
or
think
nine.
So. Yesterday. Listen, the bottom line is this. It's very simple. A couple things. Blake Bortles is not a bust. All that talk is so premature. It's absurd. You're not going to bench him. He's your quarterback. He's the franchise guy. I mean, so if you're going to call in tonight and say
they can call in and say it.
I'm
just arguing with them.
Please,
I want to hear why they think
please
that.
Please call in.
We want to hear
go
why
ahead
they think
and call
that.
In.
Why do you think
just
that?
Just be prepared for the wrath of what is going to be said.
No,
back.
They have. They can say why they think
they
that
can
would
say
be the
whatever
right
they want, but I can say whatever I want to. Let me finish my thought there, Pete. The second thing is this, though.
I and Prisco interrupt.
The second thing is this. He has played awful the last 2 weeks. He was bad. And it's not just the picks. It's the third and four in the red zone, and he has a 5-yard out for a first down to make it first and 15 going in a game where you can make it a one-score game, and you one-hop it. It's not even close.
You mean, yeah, first and goal.
They were on the 19.
But it wouldn't have been first and 15. It would have been first and 10.
10 from the 15, okay. That's what I meant. And he one-hopped it.
Yeah, it was a horrible throw.
It was awful. That's an easy throw. That's not a big boy throw. That's a 1-2-3, throw it.
That looked to me like it had gotten into his head at that point.
I don't know what it did. And the second
Denard
pick.
Robinson. That was a Denard Robinson throw. He's wide open on the sidelines. He airmails it into the crowd.
I don't think he saw him. If you watch the tape, the way it was and the rush was in front, I think he was just throwing it away and at the last second saw Denard.
Yeah.
So I don't think he saw that. The pick, the second pick six, you can't make that throw. I mean, it's not the right read. You don't throw a back shoulder throw on soft coverage on the backside hash.
Let me ask you this.
So he's played poorly the last 2 weeks. I mean, there's no – don't sugarcoat it. He's not played well. With all that said, nothing changes. He's the guy. And I think he's still going to be a very good player. I mean, he had two bad weeks.
Let me ask.
So what happened?
Let me ask
Lost
this.
Lost the game because he had two bad weeks.
Right. On that second pick six, right, there was a double move from Cecil, right?
It was awful.
But
first
why,
of all, the guy is so deep off. It's double moved. It didn't work. The guy, I mean, you can't make that throw. It's not the right read. You just keep going down the path.
But if you can't make that throw, why is that an option in the play?
Well, there's a bunch – because you run routes based on coverages and trying to dictate coverage, and you don't know exactly what coverage you're getting every time. And based on the coverage, it gives you the read where to go with the ball.
Okay.
It's a soft coverage. A double move and back shoulder from that side isn't going to work. If he's impressed, the double move works, and you throw it deep. You can make that throw. I mean, it just – he played poorly. This team played good enough outside of the quarterback position yesterday to win the football game.
Yes, they did.
And that's going to happen with a young quarterback. We said it, and I said it from the start, and I wanted Blake Bortles to be the starting quarterback, no doubt about it. But with that said, when you have a rookie quarterback, there are going to be days, and multiple days during his rookie year, you are going to shake your head, rub your eyes, and going, what in the heck just happened? Because that's what rookie quarterbacks do.
Okay. Yes. But it doesn't validate the whole idea that he should be sitting, like people are saying. There are other people out there.
A few people.
Yeah, like Peter King said it, okay?
Peter King said that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's stupid.
What? Yeah, it validated why he should be sitting this year, what's going on here. That's
really
what he said. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
So did the first two games when he had a 70% completion rate, did it validate that he should be starting? I mean, I expect more from Peter. I expect more from people. You can't just pick and choose week to week based on, that's why he should be sitting. That's why he should be starting.
Be nice to Peter now.
I love Peter. I love his articles. I love his Money Morning Quarterback. No, I really do. I enjoy reading Peter's stuff. But that doesn't make sense to me because you can't go week to week with a quarterback, especially a rookie quarterback, and make decisions based on whether he should sit, start. Because that you want to talk about messing up a kid's head and him starting to look behind him. It's like, oh, did I play good enough? Am I a starter? Am I not? I mean, you can't do that with that position.
It's his job. Whatever happens this year, happens. And let him play through it.
I agree.
And if he can't handle it, then you have the wrong guy. And I think he can handle it.
Well, and everything I see on the sidelines, and it's from a distance, granted, but his body language, how he handles himself, his interaction with the coaches and the players, I don't see any shying away from the – from the issues.
No, he goes right back in there and starts throwing it around. That's fine. Tony's going to see this?
You got something in your hand here, Pete, that was handed out to you.
Well Ryan O'Halloran
today. Tell Ryan I'm not filling it
he's
out.
He's doing a 20-year thing, 20 best players in the Jaguar history, and I got a ballot, and Tony got a ballot, and Tony already filled his own name in it.
No, I did not. I didn't even open it.
I hope, first of all,
I gave the ballot to JP, and JP's going to fill it out for me.
No, JP hasn't been here for 20 years. You've been here for 20 years.
I don't have a ballot.
When you came here as a 40-year-old man, you've been here for 20 years.
So you're 60.
You're not going to. 25-year-old. You would not fill this out because you don't want to put your own name on it.
I don't like doing that kind of stuff.
Why?
Why not?
You're part of history here.
Okay, good. Let other people dictate my place in history.
Well, aside from yourself, why can't you just fill out the ballot aside from yourself?
Well, I can, but I'm going to vote for all the guys I played with.
Who are you going to put in left guard? Yeah. Ben Coleman?
Yeah.
Who are you going to put in center? Dave Wydell?
Cheever.
Cheever. He didn't play that long. Who's your right guard? Muslinski?
Novak.
What a team this is going to be.
Jilski?
Yeah. No. Over the course of history, maybe. That's not such a bit. Linder. You put Linder in right
now. Vinny Manawai.
In the long run, Linder might end up being the best.
No, but right now.
Right now? Vinny Manawai.
The TU might have made a mistake given Mr. Baselli.
No, but he
Cersei's the right tackle.
He does have his name.
What tight end did you put on there?
Pass. Kyle Brady, maybe?
Kyle's good. He had a 70 catch.
You're passing on the tight end position?
But he did have his own name on there. And then there's a thing over here, best beat writer in history. I put my own name in.
Very well done. Off to a rousing start. That'll be quite a time. We'll
have
to fill out the rest of this. We'll do it together. We'll do a Jaguars Monday ballot. How about that?
Yeah. I bet Ryan would take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
He might take it and put it in the trash can, but he'll take it. Jaguars Monday rolling along. We'll come back in a moment. Jeff Lagerman will join us from Jaguars All Access on Monday evening. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Lagerman with us in a moment. Your call's coming up later. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. And more Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
I really feel bad for Blake because he's young. He's finding out that teams are starting to lock in on him a little bit more. And it's just a tough situation. And you don't want to be getting in a situation where you're pointing fingers. And on defense, I'm just proud of the guys, how we're responding. We still got to get some turnovers and try to get the offense more opportunities. It's always tough, you know, when you feel like you're playing winning football, but you're coming up short. And that's a sign of a young team that's not quite there yet. We got a lot of work yet to do.
Jaguars defenseman Red Bryant in the post game with Jeff Lagerman last night, who joins us now on Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Buselli. And we're talking about the ballot.
So I told Jeff Tony voted for himself.
I have not. And Jeff voted. Pete, will you shut up?
And Jeff will vote for himself.
I would not vote for myself.
You know what the thing
but
is?
But I would vote for Tony and expect Tony to vote for me.
It's like the old Pro Bowl voting.
Me and Osha were talking about it before. You would be on there, and you would be on there. We were trying to figure out the defense. Brackens is a lock. Who else?
I mean, Schmege played some good football for many years.
You were better than him.
Clyde Simmons played very good football for a few years, just like the other guys have too.
Yeah, I was going to say, but the bigger question is this. How many positions will be filled from the guys who played the first 5 years in this
franchise?
That's
a good question.
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot. But, yeah. I mean, that's part of the romanticism of having the days of old.
I'm saying, how many deserve best players?
Who are the best? We're talking about the best
players.
Quite a few.
Yeah. I mean, quite a few. I mean, personally, I'm voting for Todd Fordham at left tackle.
I might too.
See, Jeff, I said he'd vote for himself, you'd vote for yourself, and I'll vote for the best beat writer in history. I'll vote for myself.
I'll give you a vote.
Everybody's trading votes today on Jaguars Monday.
Vote for me, I'll vote for you.
Jaguars defense has been good again. I mean, this group has done it week in and week out for the last at least 4 weeks now, but just still only one W to show for it. I don't know what else you can ask of this group, Jeff.
Takeaways.
That's probably the only big plays,
you know. But to get big plays, a lot of times you have to have a score differential in your favor, because then you're rushing the passer, the opponent's trying to push the ball down the field, trying to make up some points. And that's typically when it happens. I mean, it's the exact same thing what's happened to the Jaguars in reverse. You know, I mean, their differential's bad because early part of the season they were playing from behind. And when you're playing from behind, big plays happen.
Corners looked like they played good yesterday.
I thought they played real strong. Dwayne Grotz was really a pleasant surprise. I was really nervous. Both Tony and I were real nervous about him with the hip flexor going into that game. And I think he made a strong statement. I mean, a strong statement that, hey, look, you know, I'm ready to be a starter again. Demetrius McCray continues to be solid. I mean, there's some things that Demetrius doesn't do well, which is the change of direction with quick guys. Like a bad matchup for him would be probably against a guy like a Wes Welker. But, I mean, that's a bad matchup for anybody. But, I mean, that kind of a player. You know, that's a quick, shifty type.
He's not going inside.
No, he's not a nickel.
Can't be a slot guy.
Right. He's an outside corner. He is really good down the field stuff. I mean, he is really good.
But the best thing, I think, to watch on film is that it's just not the frontline guys that you're seeing make plays. And I'm going to show a couple plays on Film Room Friday of Josh Evans, who is a frontline guy, playing very solid. Last week I showed Avery Jones. I mean, probably had a better game than Roy Miller.
I thought Ziggy Hood played good.
Ziggy Hood, Tyson Alualu played very strong. I mean, and that's what you want. I mean, Telvin Smith, who's a nickel sub linebacker, has the tip ball that leads to the interception. I mean, JT Thomas
played very well coming back in.
How do you think JT Thomas did? The backups played well.
The guys that are rolling in, there's not a drop-off. And if there is, it's very small, which you would expect. I mean, that's probably the most impressive thing about this defense, and that's what you expected going into the year. I mean, you expected them to have depth, and you expected them to have I wouldn't say quality depth, but I would say depth that makes contributions and are getting it.
Looks quality right now.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, you can call it quality. I mean, boy, you'd like to have quality depth, like maybe if you look at the St. Louis Rams. I mean, some of their pass rushers they have. You'd like to have maybe some guys up front like that. But
like Eugene Sims or William Hayes.
And
one
yeah,
of those,
and, yeah, and you'd like to. I was talking with John Osher, Jaguars.com senior writer, about this earlier today. And he said, you know, what's the one thing you'd probably add to this football team? I said some youth on the defensive front in that front seven. You know, and that's the kind of – that's what I would term quality depth. You know, the depth that is young and it's developing and it's going to be there for the next 7-8 years. And I don't know if you've got it to that point yet, you know, but you're getting
But an Avery Jones is that type of player you're talking about, a guy like that.
Exactly.
And Ryan Davis is young. I mean, and Sendarek Marcus is an old man by any means.
No. Well. And, then, you know, heck, you can flip it over to the other side of the ball.
It's all youth.
Josh Wells. I mean, I thought he did a really good job in the game. I mean,
very
considering
what he was asked to do and coming off the bench like that with
against
the amount
of
reps.
One of the better players in the National Football League.
He was fine.
I mean, that's what I consider, you know, that outside linebacker, 50
Olivier Vernon.
He's a player. Really good football player, a big physical football player. And Josh Wells is a guy that needs a little bit of time to kind of, you know, hit the weight room and get some polish to him. But, I mean,
I thought
he did pretty well. And in the run game, he was very impressive.
JT Thomas back on defense. Overall, his game yesterday.
No drop-off.
Nothing at all.
No.
Was there anything that
but
he
the
can
problem,
do better?
But the problem is that you didn't really have a drop-off at Mike. But you had a drop off at Otto, you know. I mean, how many
Trickle
times?
Down.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens. I mean, when you have one guy move positions because of an injury, you know, their first thought is, okay, well, we're going to weaken two positions. But I mean, you had to move JT because it's the position that never leaves the field. But now at the Otto position, I mean, how many plays do we remember that an Otto made in that game?
Not many.
You know, I'm not saying he played bad.
Just nothing spectacular.
But talking about Watson, right?
Yeah, Dakota Watson. But nothing that said you went and go, wow, hey, man, that's nice right there. I mean, you never really saw anything of that nature. But, you know, maybe with some reps and time, he'll make those kind of plays. But he's got a lot to prove yet.
All right. If JT Thomas plays like he did yesterday the rest of the way.
Oh, here we go.
Well,
But is he the middle linebacker next year?
But before you – I mean, quite possibly. But before you do that, I mean, Dakota Watson, I remember back in the offseason, I said that, hey, look, this guy could be one of the unknown gems that you find in free agency.
And they thought that, too.
Wasn't expensive. I mean, watching the film of him at Tampa Bay, this guy was fast. He was athletic. He had good instincts. And I'm not seeing that right now. And I'm wondering why. I mean, is it the injury, the lack of OTAs, the lack of training camp, a combination of all of that? I don't know. But I want to see the guy that I saw on tape playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, because your question, which Jeff's alluding to, is JT Thomas, what he has done, and if it continues, you got to see more than one game.
Well, obviously.
But if it continues, now you have a guy who can play either Otto or Mike, and it gives you a lot of flexibility there when Posluszny comes back.
He played well, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys
I played well. I mean, there were some
things. He had some mistakes,
but
the first game, he had 59 snaps. I mean, played more than he's been playing all year, and it was very solid. I think it's only going to get better.
How'd the safeties play?
I think Josh Evans has had, boy, 3-4 weeks now that he's been really good.
Came up well on the run.
I think Cyprian had a couple plays that you were like, you know, you expect more. I mean, the bar is higher for Jonathan Cyprian. You know, draft status, but, you know, also, you know, all the speak that you
upside.
Hear. Upside. You know, so you expect more out of him. You know, and he needs to take the next step in his game to where he starts making –
spectacular
game-changing plays. You know, a big hit, jar of ball loose, make an interception, make a big tackle on third down, which he's done this year. But I mean, he needs to start being a factor type player, and right now he's a good player, but he needs to take that next step.
Jaguars All Access TV tonight at 7 o'clock on Channel 4 with Sam Kavaras. Who you got tonight?
We have JT Thomas on tonight.
Good.
And the film room, we're going to take a look at the two pick sixes, why they happened. And kind of show it to people, you know, because I mean, a lot of people, you say, what a terrible throw. You know, and I'm
first
not saying
was,
they were good throws.
No, but the second one was a terrible throw.
The second
bad
one
decision.
was a bad decision.
And a terrible throw.
And a bad throw. The first one, you can kind of understand why it happened.
Great play by the corner.
Excellent play. by I believe it was Lewis Delmas.
Oh, was it? You're right. It was a
well. He's a safety, but he was playing.
He was playing nickel at the time. Yeah.
So we're going to look at those two plays, but and I'll explain exactly the bad throw to Cecil, to where Grimes took it in for the interception. What the actual route was and why you don't want to make that throw in that area that he did.
Other side.
Other side of the field.
Other side.
On Bortles quicker, though. You like his demeanor after all that?
Yeah, I like his demeanor. But, I mean, in the last 2 weeks, I mean, he has taken a step back. And the thing that me and you had talked about on Inside the Jaguars on Jaguars.com today was that the 2 weeks to where he's had steps back, which you expect steps back with a rookie, they happen. But they're the 2 weeks that they've had the best rushing performances to date. You know, so you don't expect to have a step-back type of performance with a young quarterback when the running game has been so good.
Yeah, less pressure is on him.
Sure. And so that's concerning. But, you know, hey, look, I'm not worried about him. He's got a great demeanor. He owns it. And I think that's the most important thing as a quarterback and as a competitor is that you have to be able to own it. And he's making no bones about it. He's owning it. He said, he flat out said, I'm killing us. And there's not a lot of guys that would just be come out and say, you know, be more team speak. Well, you know, we got to do better. We got to do this. No, I mean, when you're the quarterback, you got to say, you know.
When it's going bad, you take all the heat. If it's going well, you give it
then
credit
use
to
we.
Everyone else. That's right.
Going bad, me. Going good, we.
Well, you have a show tonight at 7 o'clock.
I do.
Jaguars All Access.
You guys have fun.
Channel 4.
Oh, we always do.
And am I going to get your vote, Pete? Are you taking a? Are you Twittering over there?
No, you know what I just did?
What?
I just set my DirecTV recording to watch your to record your program.
You actually know how to do that via phone?
I have no
that's
idea.
Big time.
Yeah.
Oh, Pete's high tech.
Did you do that?
I would have
no
idea.
Clue.
And am I going to vote for you? The more I think about it, yeah, both of you probably get my vote.
I've just started to learn
how to
text.
Definitely will
get
your vote and I'm thinking of another defensive end in the history of this team beside Brackens. It has to be Jeff.
Let me say this to that.
Oh, there he goes. Campaign.
No, I'm not campaigning. I'm just saying that doesn't speak very well to the franchise's acquisition of defensive end talent if I'm even in the conversation.
Spicer?
Spice was good for a couple
Spice
years.
Spice was a good football player.
Really good
I definitely
years.
Vote for Spicer before me.
Spice?
How many years did you end up playing here?
I mean, I was here 4, but the problem is I only played – really, three?
Yeah,
because
that
of the
might
bicep tendon.
That might hurt you. You
Schmangy. It's probably between Schmangy Logs
that's
or
gonna hurt
Spicer.
I
take
hurt
Spicer.
You Logs. It's gonna hurt you, Logs.
I take Spicer.
Spicer's really good for.
He was good.
Now, where would you, now? What spot are we looking to fill? Left side or right side? Because
well,
I mean,
the right side.
The right side
is
Brackens.
Right.
Yeah.
Brackens.
So you're looking at left side. I take Paul Spicer all day long. He's bigger guy, more physical.
Right. But that's not how. I don't think that's how they're doing it. No, they're not doing it that way. They're defensive end. So you still have a chance.
Pete, I don't need that. I'm past that point.
You're
47 years old. I'm good.
Have a great show, Logs. Jeff Loggeman on Jaguars All Access tonight at 7 on Channel 4 with Sam Kavoris. Download the official Jaguars app today and get the latest news, videos, photos, and more. And during the game, receive special offers, live news, and breaking scoring updates. The all-new Jaguars app is available to download in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store right now. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Your call's coming up. We'll talk special teams, too. What's going on with the Jags field goal unit? Jaguars Monday continues after this on Jaguars Radio.
That and he's going to have to experience it. And usually what happens is the first couple of years of these guys playing, a lot of times interceptions come on different plays. You know, one came on a sluggo to the wide field. He might never throw another interception for the next 12 years on a back shoulder sluggo to the wide field. But maybe the one before that came on a boot to his left with an over route. He might never do that again, but unfortunately that hasn't happened yet. So I think a lot of this right now is a learning curve for him, and the experiences will help him prevent that from happening again.
Offensive coordinator Jed Fish earlier today. Gus Bradley, by the way, was out today with flu-like symptoms, so unable to speak with the media today. So both coordinators were made available. Jed Fish, Bob Babich. We'll hear from Bob coming up on the defensive side a little bit later. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, and the mayor of Everbank Field, Tony Boselli.
Gus had the flu, huh?
Yeah,
he's sick. Been out. Yep.
Pick six flu?
I don't know. You got to be sick. For Gus Bradley to miss work, you got to be sick.
Have you ever missed a day of work being sick?
I never playing. I never did. I know that.
No.
I don't think I ever.
You weren't allowed. You weren't allowed to get sick here.
No.
When Tom was the coach. You weren't.
It was in the rule book. No,
I got,
don't
I got
sick.
Food poisoning. I told you that story. I got food poisoning. And missed one
day. That's unacceptable.
when we come to work in a diaper?
Yeah. if you're committed. They make those adult diapers. Maybe not for your size.
But I'll be using those in a couple years.
You might want to retire that shirt.
What are you talking about?
It's a little tight.
No, it's not.
You might want to go
up. You know why he's saying that? Because we started on his brow last week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I'm fine with the brow. I know what the brow's the brow. I mean, I'm just saying.
You know, that's a Kyle Korver brow.
What?
Please look up Kyle Korver, because every time I watch him play in the NBA, I go, "That's God, he looks like Baselli."
All right.
Something we got to bring. Is something we got to bring up from yesterday's game again. Josh Scobie had another field goal blocked, third blocked field goal this year. There was another one, a field goal taken off the board with a holding call, and then actually in the Jags' favor, a missed field goal was overturned with an offside call. So yesterday was
a bad day
for the field goal unit. But it seems to be a theme, Tony. Why is that?
The block. The block yesterday was not on Scobie.
Okay.
I thought, watching it, man, it's a low kick. It's hard to tell on, you know, watch it live TV copy. Watching the game tape, and I specifically went to that play because I was curious to see if it was low, if a ton of penetration over between the left tackle and the left tight end. Vernon got it about 3 yards deep and got his paw up. I mean, it was just poor execution.
Bad execution.
Yeah, bad execution by the line.
What about the hold?
I didn't watch that one. I just wanted to watch the block.
But even his made field goal didn't look like it was.
It was wavering a little.
Yeah, I don't know if he's striking it as well as he has in the past. But the block was not on him. I mean, that was just poor protection.
But the others earlier this year?
I thought the one was the Philly was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was Tennessee.
Tennessee was low.
And I thought Philly was low.
Well, Tennessee was a 55-yarder, too.
It was still low, though. I was low. He wasn't making that one anyways.
I thought those were too low. This one, I thought it was hard to tell because it was so much penetration. It could have been low, and we didn't know, but it was not. It didn't have a chance.
Let me ask you this, and I couldn't on the TV when we were watching the game, you know, because I have them all up there. But the call that Gus went wild about, the fumble or on the sideline, or it was non-fumble or whatever he was, or the catch.
It was the Mike Wallace catch.
Mike Wallace catch. Yeah. It was a good catch.
Yeah, one knee in.
Did he challenge that?
No.
No.
He was mad.
Why was he mad?
Because the initial official came and said no catch, and literally like 2 minutes later, it felt like 2 minutes, maybe it wasn't that long, but then all of a sudden an official way, you know, 30 yards in came running down
saying
he was right.
Right.
So,
but Gus kept going on.
I think he was frustrated by the entire afternoon.
Yeah, I would imagine that was the case because he on the TV he looked like he was going nuts.
He was upset. I thought it was the right call looking at the replay.
And that was something. Remember, Gus said I think it was the week before where he felt he might have been a little hard on the officials during the game and it spilt over to the team some. I don't know if that was a situation. I think you're right, Tony, where the game was what it was at that point.
Yeah, it was. I think if I'm not mistaken, it was 17-6 at that point, and it was a 3rd and 7. They're backed up deep in their own end, and it was a big play. And it was the combination of the kind of back and forth on the side, and then also the Dolphins lined up or got into the huddle. They had 12 men in the huddle, and when they broke the huddle and then ran off.
That's what he was mad
the
at.
Other, and so he was, just told yeah, he was more that. Upset. That's what he was upset about.
Right.
That there was too many. It should have been the play should have never counted. They never should have. They should have backed them up. It should have been 3rd and 13. And so I think he was very frustrated by the illegal substitution.
Well, there you go.
He looked angry. Yeah, I haven't seen him that way in a long time.
He was hot. So our good friend, I forgot about that. That's right. I didn't find that out until after the game. But then our good friend texted us and reminded that he was upset about that.
That's what it was. That was all the same play.
So thank you, good friend.
Friend of Jaguars Monday.
Yes.
He obviously went home early today because he's listening to the show. He's not in his office.
He might be listening in his office.
No, he's not. I went by his office.
Right. He's one of those unnamed characters.
We have a lot of unnamed characters in this.
Right. Let's go to the phone lines. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Tony's been patiently waiting on phone calls tonight.
My favorite part of the show.
Tyler in Mandarin wants to talk about the loss. What's up, Tyler?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you all?
All right, you?
Good, good. I'm very happy to be on the line with you. Some of you are my personal heroes.
Some of us.
Thank you very much.
What about the rest of us?
Well, you know, Pete and Tony, they're good.
Thanks a lot.
Yes? Yay or nay on Kyle Korver?
Oh, yeah. Hold on, Tyler. We're looking at, who is this?
Kyle Korver.
Korver. We got a, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Kyle Korver could be your son. Yes.
How old is he?
I don't think he can be your son. He's too old for that. Well, yeah. Although you came here as a 40-year-old, so he might be.
He just might be. Tyler, what's up, man?
So, guys, yeah, it was a rough pill to swallow yesterday, but this being a team with a lot of new parts, they're showing some good strides in various points. Two concerns I do have, though. There seems to be that Blake's a victim of a lot of drops by his receivers, and I don't know if that's because it's good D or he's forcing the ball into the hands a little too quick or somebody's not running the right route. But I want to know, one, what Coach Sullivan can do about that to help remedy this with the veteran and the rookie receivers. And then also, it just appears to me as a novice trying to understand the game that Jed Fish's offenses start out real hot in that first half. And then afterwards, after halftime and adjustments are made, they don't seem to have that same spark. So I'd like y'all's input, and I'll take your answers off the air.
Thanks for the call tonight. Thanks.
What was
for
the first part?
Drops by receivers.
Yeah.
Allen Robinson had his first drops of the year, I believe.
Too many.
Right?
Too many drops.
Could Robinson have caught the high pass in the end zone?
It was a bad. It wasn't a great route, and it was a poorly thrown ball.
Right, but could he have caught it?
It would have been an acrobatic catch.
It would have been a heck of a catch.
I think he could have taken one more step before he jumped it. It would have been a little bit easier.
Poor route. How?
I think he was a little. I think he hesitated at the beginning, so maybe threw the time off a little bit, but not that poor. It was a poor throw more than
wide
anything.
Open.
Yeah, it was wide open. So the route was fine in the grand scheme of things. It's a post. The ball is supposed to be thrown to the field goal post, and it was thrown behind him.
I think he's going to be good, Allen Robinson.
No, I do too.
He's got the most catches and yards for a Jaguars rookie receiver through 8 games ever.
Well, he's up there among all the leaders in rookie receptions.
Absolutely,
yeah. He's having a heck of a year.
Really good year for him.
And then the second thing was Jed Fish's offense.
Yeah, adjustments to the second half to changes after halftime. And it seems to him, to Tyler, it seemed different in the second half, or it has seemed different throughout the year in the second half than the first half.
Well, I mean, if you look at it in the second half, they had the deep drive with the 3rd and 4 that was a one-hop football to Allen Robinson. Mm-hmm. They ran the ball pretty effectively the entire game.
All day.
So the quarterback was off. I mean, he had a bad day. I mean, I don't know what else. I mean, it's hard.
Should they be running the ball more?
Well, I think they ran it pretty good, Josh. Sure. I don't know how many attempts they had, but I think they had
30 attempts. Well, let's see. 6 of those were Bortles. So
24
by
how
backs.
Many passing attempts did he have?
34.
Yeah,
so but that's 6 drops is 40, so it's 40 and 20. Me personally, I don't think so.
I think they're 60-40 right now. About the NFL
I think that's
average.
Fine. Yeah. I have no problem.
No, I don't think. I think the play calling mix is fine. I don't think they're trying to throw it too much.
D-Rob had 18 carries, 108 yards.
Back-to-back 100-yard games. That's pretty impressive.
First time since 2011 for a Jags back. Mojo was
since
the last
Maurice,
one.
Huh?
Yeah.
He's running better.
He's running good, and he's only going to get better.
What would Toby have? What did he finish with?
Toby finished with 4 carries, 10 yards.
About the average.
I knew where you were going.
You're piling on him.
No, I'm kidding
you're
around.
You're piling. I don't know if you're kidding around.
You don't like. You're not a Toby fan.
That's. I like guys with wiggle in the run game.
You like a little wiggle, don't you?
Yeah. I like wiggle. What do you like? Straight ahead stuff.
Oh boy, let's get out of here for a moment. Jaguars tour and treat event is back tomorrow night. Exclusive behind-the-scenes tour of Everbank Field, games, dance party with a roar, and more. Visit JaguarsKidsClub.com for more information. More of your calls coming up, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
I think our first 5 possessions I was talking to our guys about, that they all ended inside their 35-yard line. And you just can't walk away with 3 points when you end there. So we need to find a way to get in that end zone, and obviously... Worst case scenario, walk away with 15 points, but need to make sure we try to find a way to end with every series with a kick, whether that be a field goal, a punt, or an extra point.
Jed Fish, Jaguars offensive coordinator earlier today. Jaguars Monday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli talking about finishing drives and scoring points, something the offense has struggled to do recently. Got to get it done. So how do you get it done?
So he said a kick, whether it's a field goal, an extra point, or a punt.
Yeah. Don't turn the ball over.
Basically. I'd rather be in the red zone and turn it over than punt from the 50. Wouldn't you?
I think the turnovers got to stop, stating the obvious.
What about the fumble?
Got to secure it. Just run around, ball wiggling all over the place.
Yeah, you like that wiggle.
Yeah. You probably liked
no,
it.
No, I saw it because it was flapping in the wind. It was all over the place. You knew that was coming.
Yeah, you got to tuck it high and tight, baby.
When it comes to flavor, go the whole nine yards. Go for Goldfish Crackers. They're tasty, fun treats that come in multiple varieties of deliciousness. So don't drop the ball. Grab the Goldfish. It's the official snack of game day.
Joe, you want me to do that next time?
Please.
Thank you. Can read it every week from now on. How about that?
You can do a sport code ad.
Yeah, sport code ad after that.
Let's heard it again the other day when I was driving. I start laughing at myself.
I just read what they write down. I
mean, sort of.
I don't write them. I just kind of read them.
Try to read them. Yeah. Listen, JP, let's not get too you start getting critical. I've heard some of your reads there, buddy.
That's great. At least I can see underneath my eyebrow. How about that? That's like,
wow.
Let's go to the phone lines.
Whoa.
Yeah, you can see those 10 hairs on top of your head.
And 5 on mine.
34 inches or shorter, get in free.
People have sent out things where they like, have you taken me in for a ride?
I saw that. Yeah, it was good.
Good. Creative.
Jay on the south side wants to talk running backs tonight. We were on that topic a moment ago. What's up, Jay?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. And I just wanted to say, Pete.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Go ahead,
Jay.
Leo.
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, that was quit. Leo.
J/Leo.
You know,
yeah,
that?
It was
he
Leo.
That, he used to do that sneaky. On my show. He'd change his name
all
the time.
Yeah, he just changed his name.
Sneaky guy.
I told you that. Didn't I say that a couple weeks
you
ago?
You did. I remember that.
Call back, Leo.
or Jay, whatever your real name is. Jim and Ponte Vedra, quarterbacks. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. A question for Tony and then a question for Pete. A question will keep Pete busy for a while. But, Tony, how much of Blake's – you know, you always hear about the rookies coming in and adjusting to the speed of the game. How much does the speed of the game for Blake come into some of his interceptions, not recognizing that these corners and these safeties are a lot faster than what he saw at Central Florida? That's the one question. And then I'd like to hear it off the air. I'll take it also off the air. Pete, your boy Mike Freeman and his comments about Russell Wilson. Just wanted to hear your take on that. Mm. Yeah. Have a good night. Thanks.
So I'll do quickly about the speed. It's a good question. I think some of it is speed. It's speed plus volume of defenses and coverages and offensive playbook and trying to digest that all at one time and make quick decisions.
All right, here,
and so all of that comes into play.
Which begs this question. Does he see it? In your mind, does he see
it? Oh, yeah, I think he does see it.
Yeah, I think he sees it, too.
Now, he sees it wrong sometimes.
Right, but
he sees it.
And he's seeing double sometimes. But, I mean, and this is the danger of this week-to-week, day-to-day, hour-to-hour sports critique and evaluation that we're all in, that we love. I mean, we do radio. This is what we do. Pete writes about it. If you start doing that based on play-to-play, game-to-game, you lose the bigger picture and you forget of what he has done leading up to this 2 weeks of bad games where he's seen it and anticipated and thrown guys open and thrown to spots and done some really good things. So you got to take it all in, put it all together, and come out with an evaluation that, listen, it's a work in progress.
It wouldn't be as magnified if he just threw interceptions that weren't returned for touchdowns. In other words, if he has the same
exact touchdowns
number,
hurt bad.
But I'm saying, same number of interceptions, same bad reads, same mistakes, but there aren't four of them returned for touchdowns, he's not getting the heat that he's getting right now.
Because
True?
The way the defense is playing, if they don't score on an interception, there's a chance the defense could stop
right,
offense.
But I'm saying
to keep
in,
the game,
evaluate,
the game, right?
In his evaluation,
okay,
when somebody is a personnel man or a coach and they evaluate it, and they evaluate the play that Delmas picked off for a touchdown. They evaluate it. They say to him, you read it? The kid made a good play. You didn't make a great play. It wasn't a great play, no matter what. He got fooled or not. It wasn't a great play.
I agree.
Minus. But just because he returns it for a touchdown doesn't mean it's a double minus.
You don't get three minuses
right.
for it. Yeah.
So I think the way he's playing when he makes a mistake is magnified because they're being returned for a pick six. And those are just circumstances because that can happen.
All right, go to your Freeman part now.
Okay, the Freeman part.
The second part of the question was
Freeman had a story that kind of went viral the other day about
it said
Russell Wilson not being black enough. Personally, I didn't report the story. I don't know what the story is. Would I have written something like that? Probably not. But maybe Mike had people telling him that on a more than one, maybe two, three, four guys.
Does he have good sources in the locker room?
I don't know that.
I'm just asking.
But
I mean,
to answer your question, Mike reported it. I would not have reported it. I don't think.
Have you heard anything like that from your sources in the locker room?
No.
Because I know you have sources in Seattle,
no,
too.
No, I have not.
Did
no,
you call them afterwards and say.
I have not. But I.
Call right now.
No.
Yeah, let's get him on. Text right now. Text him.
But to answer your question, it's not my story. Did I think it went a little too viral for what it was? Yes, to be honest with you. I think ESPN, somebody, Kenny Mayne or somebody said something about it, and it kind of took on a life of its own. And when you write things like that, they usually do take it.
I wish you just explained what he meant by not being black enough.
But, Tony, we kid a lot on this show, okay? We kid around with each other, right? You're kidding me about being fat and short.
Which
and
is all true.
I kid you about being the brow and Kyle Korver and everything else.
I'm bald.
If somebody's in the locker room.
You're bald and fat.
If there's a one guy in the locker room ribbing Russell Wilson for maybe he said that or something, and it said out loud and some other guy heard it and told Mike Freeman that, is that.
That's not a story.
Right. So you get. I don't know how you. You got to be sure of that if you write that. That's all I'm saying.
You better have multiple people telling you.
But here's the other thing about it, though. How do you check it?
Well, that's the problem in today's world with reporting and Twitter and everything else. You can say anything. I got sources, you know. Okay, well.
I'm not saying Mike doesn't have
sources. I'm not saying he does either. I have no
idea. I don't know, but it's
that's
not.
Why
you
I wish
can't you, check it.
I wish you would have done some homework and made some phone calls.
You can't check it, but I'm not exactly the most well-liked Russell Wilson guy in the media either.
No, but you can. You have guys in the locker room.
Yeah, I could check on it.
You have moles in every locker room.
When was the last time you were on the air with Mike Freeman? Have you been on the air with him? You've been on the air with him.
They did a show together.
Here.
He was when I first did my show. I brought him on for a couple of days a week.
But when was that? When was the last time you did?
Years ago.
Decade? Not a decade. I started
7 years ago.
Well, I've been out of that one for a year and a half. So 8 years ago. Eight and a half years ago. Yeah, 8 years ago. He was the columnist at the Times Union at the time, and he came on with me for 2 days a week, and he dragged the show right down into the dumpster. I tell him that all the time. I said, he was on Tuesday and Thursday, I think. Monday ratings were good. Tuesday they went down. Wednesday they went up. Thursday went down.
It's like a roller coaster with him.
Yeah. But, no, I like Mike. But I don't even know Mike. I can't. Me, if I went, when I covered your team, if somebody would have came to me and said, so-and-so player.
You better make sure it's just not guys joking.
Isn't black enough or isn't whatever enough. You better go make sure you have
it. Is it wide enough?
Right. Four or five guys. To me, that's disturbing. Writing it is disturbing in a lot of ways to me. It's just, what does it mean? What does that mean?
I said he should. I want him to explain what it means.
We'll have to work on getting him on the show sometime.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
No?
I mean, it's not a story. To Pete's, that's, I think what Pete's saying. Let me say it for Pete. It's not a story.
Well, but that's it, though, Tony.
But is it or is it not?
Everything's
that's the question.
A story now.
I don't think it is a story.
If there were 10 guys in the Seattle locker room that thought that Russell, not that he doesn't act black enough, because I don't know what that means, but if there were 10 guys in the locker room that didn't like Russell Wilson, that's your story.
Sure.
That's the story. If Russell Wilson doesn't take, and part of that was it said he didn't take accountability for his mistakes, although he kind of hedged that a little bit. But if he doesn't take accountability for your mistakes and he's blaming other guys in the locker room, that's the story. Like when I was covering you guys, if Brunel alienated 10 guys on the team and 8 guys came to me and I went to 6 other guys and there were 14 guys saying the quarterback's a prima donna, I would write that. And that's a story. But if they said, oh, the quarterback thinks he's smarter than everybody else, is that really a story?
I don't think so.
Right, so you know, it's so. I hope I answered that guy's question.
I guess there's a lot. Sure. My point is, there's a lot of things said in a locker room, and a lot of things happen in a locker room that really aren't.
If I would have done stories on everything that Rob Johnson said in the locker room, he'd have been in prison.
But I'm saying you knew a lot of things that happened in the locker room that you didn't report because it's not a story.
Right. Now there were things that It's changed, though, Tony. It's changed.
You got to have a story. You got to have something on a deadline. Well, there's always something.
These
right?
guys used to come at me. Not him, but other guys used to legitimately come at me. And
you couldn't get away with that now.
No. It would be viral. It was viral.
It was so fun, though. We had the no Prisco zone. It was awesome.
That was playful, though. But I'm talking about when they really came at me and John.
No one would ever let anything happen, though.
Ryan DeMarco almost did let it happen but a couple different times.
No one would have let it happen is my point.
No, but the fact that they tried to and the way it
they
happened.
They were threatening.
And it was nasty. It was nasty.
I don't know if this makes me a bad person, but I get a chuckle out of it watching Pete
scramble. I wasn't scrambling. I stood my ground. I used to get a chuckle out of it, too. I enjoyed it.
That's what I was saying.
What were they going to do? Hit me?
You were hoping they would. I used to tell him all the time. Go ahead and hit me.
I used to tell Gary Walker all the time, go ahead, Gary, because I'll get a piece of every sack you ever get. All three of them in your career.
It was great. It was good stuff.
Do you want your photo or tweet of the massive new Jags video boards? Use the hashtag JagsGameDayLive. When the Jags are back at Everbank Field, be a part of the game experience. The Social Drive, brought to you by the Nimnick family of dealerships. Hour 2 of Jaguars Monday coming up on Jaguars Radio.
I think if we continue with the consistency that we talked about earlier, you know, the guys coming out and using their fundamentals, that's something that we've stressed, the coaches have stressed the last couple weeks, you know, the missed tackles are down, things like that. But, you know, takeaways are something that we need to make sure that we put ourselves in position. And if there is an opportunity, we got to take advantage of it.
Defensive coordinator Bob Babich earlier today. What's left for the defense to improve on? Takeaways.
And you guys said
it. Yeah, just talked about it earlier. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick with Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli.
Maybe we should do the news conference, press conference next time.
Well, they did it because Gus was not here today.
No, I'm saying
under
that's
the weather.
What Jeff and I just said, what Bob said.
Yeah.
You know, Bob's one of the, he's what a great guy he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, forget about the coaching. He does a great job coaching. But and it's almost to a man. I think it is to a man. Gus did a great job of not only getting good coaches and good teachers, but they're good people. Listen, we've all been around organizations, and especially when you're losing, where there can be grade A turds.
Petrino.
And I didn't say any names. All of a sudden, Pete's blurting out names.
Who else you got, Pete?
I said no names, but I'm telling you, Kiffin. I'm not just saying this, but this staff has good guys. Now, listen, they hate losing. Everyone's in bad mood when you lose. I'm not talking about that. These are just – they're good guys, and I appreciate that because it makes our job, JP,
no doubt
a lot easier.
I was absolutely just looking at the stats. 25th against total defense now, which is up.
Oh, yeah. Look at the red zone defense. They're number one, I think, number one or two.
They're 20th in run defense. 5th in sacks per pass play. That's impressive.
You got some sacks now. Yeah.
It's you know what's really impressive about it? They don't have an elite sack guy. I mean,
how many sacks does Ryan Davis have now?
4 now. He had 2 yesterday.
He looked good yesterday.
That was a good player.
But it wasn't like he was replacing Andre Branch. One of those was from the inside.
So no, they're both from the
they
inside.
They were both from the inside.
Imagine how good that front will be when they get Randy Gregory next year and early in the draft.
Here we go with the draft. It's still October.
We're not going. JP,
it's 1-7.
I had to get him. It's like a wind up tour.
No, it's not going to work. I'm not talking about it. Let's go to line 2.
What's wrong with you?
Go to line 2.
Hey, Leo's on the line magically.
Is this Jay or Leo?
Okay, before. Hey, hold on, Jay, Leo, before you ask your question,
what's your
why
real
do you
name?
Always change your name?
Okay, listen. Can I say something?
No, you got to answer my question first.
I will. I apologize first and foremost, and I do it, Pete, because I feel like you and Tony, y'all bully me on the radio, man, and it really hurts my feelings, man, because y'all got the power. You got the power to hang up
on
me.
We do have the power. We've never hung up on you.
I've hung up on
you. But listen,
I hung up on it back in the day.
I try to have good phone etiquette when I call in, try not to cuss and say stupid things. Sometimes I will. But let me say this, man.
Sometimes you'll cuss or say stupid things.
Phone etiquette, you hung up on us earlier.
I apologize. My phone's terrible, man. I don't have that good money like y'all, man. I got the cheap phone. But look, I just want to say this. I'm not here. Last week I called in and I said Blake Bortles didn't have a bad game. Y'all disagree. Yesterday was a bad game for him, okay? But here's what I disagree with. In the third quarter, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, I know you will. It was like 17-6. I just think they abandoned the run too early. Look, I think he had 18 for 108, Denard Robinson did. I think if they'd have gave it to him about 10 more times, okay, about 28 carries. Okay, and I'm not a predictive.
Hold on.
Who is he, Herschel Walker?
Is this Earl Campbell?
DeMarco Murray?
I mean, you're talking about a guy who was playing quarterback 2 years ago, got his first start at running back a week ago, and you want to give him 28 carries?
Well, but 25, Tony. Okay, maybe 28 is a lot, but about five more carries. What I mean is maybe on some of those picks that Blake threw, maybe some of those bad throws, maybe they should have ran the ball a little bit, you know, just because he was doing good at it, okay? And so keep at that. And if he's not running good or Toby's not running good, then you got to go to court. And another thing, I'm upset with Scobie. Y'all can say what y'all want about, you know, the line not blocking. Look, man, he's left points on the field, and I'm disappointed with him. You know, he used to be clutch. When, you know, this was a bad football team, now all of a sudden he can't kick field goals. I'm disappointed with him. And you're talking about, you know, cutting Paul Puzzuzzi. No. You keep Paul Puzzuzzi around. You cut guys like Cecil Short.
This is a smorgasbord like of calls.
We're all over the place.
Short. General manager Leo. Or Jay. Or Bobby. Or Tommy. What's your name next week, Leo? Leo, how many names?
I'm not going to do that no
hey,
more.
Hey, Leo, how many names? No, seriously. How many names did you use when you used to call my show? How many different names?
Because if you saw my name when I called in, you didn't even give me a chance.
Yeah, I always gave you a chance. You dug your own grave. You kept talking and talking.
You're good at digging.
You blew me away before I even walked up to the door. Hey, I appreciate y'all letting me in.
All right. See you, Jay Leo.
Call back again, Leo, Jay, Bobby.
Didn't I tell you guys a couple weeks ago he used to change his name?
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to go with that call. It was like so many different things coming at me. I'm confused.
Well, nobody said to cut Paul Puzzuzzi, by the way.
Well,
he brought it up. We didn't even,
I didn't say
a couple weeks ago.
I said tell him to take a pay cut or I'd cut him.
I don't even know how we got on that topic. Right? We haven't even talked about this.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, we did talk about it.
No, today.
We mentioned JT Thomas.
No,
right?
But he's talking about last week. Oh. But JT Thomas played good. He's
and
younger.
His whole thing about
he's faster. He's quicker. He's cheaper. And it all makes
this
sense.
This is what I love about
you
this.
Hate that? Why do you hate that so much?
This is what I love about the callers like Leo. If you...
He's ignoring me.
If you run the ball too much, then they want you to throw it more.
Right.
If you don't, you throw it, but you throw picks, now they want you to run the ball more. I mean, come on. I mean, listen.
I can honestly say I never want any team to run the ball more.
First of all, in the first half, they were running the ball. It was a balanced attack, and he threw a pick on the boot. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was the first play they had the ball. In the second half, wasn't it first down and 10? He threw the second pick six.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
backed up on your own
7 yard line.
What people would question. Right.
There's a lot of thoughts. Backed up is when you take a shot down the field because you're going to get people trying to stop the running or the right coverage.
You could understand why people would be critical of that call and that play. Yes.
Listen. You can't.
I don't. I'm just saying you can't
win.
Throw it enough for me.
You can't win in this league if you're a play caller because it's never going to be right. If you lose,
down on the boots.
Luke Jokel yesterday suffered a concussion.
Yeah,
he'll have
no
to go
good.
Through the protocol. Coming up, they'll have more news on him Wednesday.
Did you see how he suffered it?
I couldn't tell.
You?
No, I did not. All of a sudden, he was gone. I didn't see a replay of it. Tim on the south side has a question about Luke Jokel, though. What's up, Tim?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I got a
lot of injuries.
Yes.
can you come by tonight and talk to me so I can go to sleep?
What's up?
I'm just joking with you. Go ahead.
he seems really good in a run blocking, you know, athletic, get down the field, make blocks on the linebackers. He seems like he struggles with bull rushers and speed rushers. My question is, and I'll take it off air, I guess, is it a technique thing with him? Is it that he was unable to work out as much in the offseason due to the injury? And another question, when I'm watching, I like to go back. I have NFL game rewind. I'm a ticket holder. When I'm watching, I like to watch the offensive lines because, you know, I knew they were young and I kind of, you know, just kind of wanted to watch them develop. What are some tips you can give me on what to look for as far as, you know, knowing what the offensive line is doing from a technique standpoint.
Great question. All right.
What I could be looking for.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Very good call. So Luke Jokel, I'm not even going to talk about yesterday's game. He was out, I think, after the second series.
It was early.
Yeah, it was very early. But your assessment, listen, he's a good run blocker. I don't think he struggles with the speed. I mean, he's so athletic. He you're right, though. He has struggled with the power rush, the bull rush. And maybe where you think he sometimes struggles with the speed is because when you start getting bold and you start worrying about the bull, you start leaning, and then everything's out the door and you struggle with anything. But I see Luke Joeckel getting better and continues to get better. I think an extra 10 pounds to 15 pounds would help him get a little bit more stronger and maybe help with his confidence. A lot of times stopping the power is just confidence, believing you can. And so I think, listen, he's going to be fine. I think I still stand by my assessment saying he's going to be a very good left tackle in this league. As far as what to watch, a great thing, and if you want to watch tackles, obviously everyone watches your footwork and how they set and how they move. Watch their hand placement. Hand placement is a very underrated portion of really anyone on the offensive line. Are they winning? Who's getting their hands inside? Are they leaning when they punch? Are they, keeping their head out of it, keeping good balance? Those are great things you can watch as you watch the NFL Rewind.
Now, let me say something about Joeckel.
Good to know.
The left tackles that have been drafted in the last 3 years are all struggling in a big way. A, all of them. The first pick, Fisher, was abused yesterday by Robert Quinn. I mean, on and on it goes. They've all struggled. So that's... So if everybody wants to kill the Jaguars for picking him second, they're all struggling. Secondly, no matter who plays left tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and John Osher and myself were talking about this before, it's a burden. Because you're always going to be compared to you, and you can't compare. It's not fair. And I'm not here to make your head get more giant than it is, but it's not fair.
I got
fair.
A big head.
I mean, you're already getting this vote.
It's not fair. It's not fair to the player for fans out there to compare him to Tony. It just is.
So what's the standard?
And not only that, he's here all the time. It's right. Not like it's in your – you're here in the building, and they have to compare themselves to you, and you're here
all
the time.
Well, here's another great one.
You're on the wall in the Hall of Fame.
I'll take
everything.
Me off of it. That is if why isn't anyone comparing, and I know he wasn't a first-round draft pick, and we probably never will draft a running back in the first round because you don't see that anymore. But let's just say Denard was a first-round draft pick. Is it fair to compare him to Fred Taylor?
No.
No.
But this kid was taken in the exact same spot
that's
that
my
you
point
were drafted,
is,
and he
not,
plays a position.
You shouldn't do that to anybody. I didn't like it when I was playing, coming out of USC. You know, everyone's like,
but
is
you're
he,
here
is
all
he,
the time, too. It's not like if you had been a great player and you went around the facility and you didn't work
leave?
Here. You want my eyes to
go? There's too many people might be voting me out off the island.
Awkward silence. So it's tough for that kid to step in and you know, he might have expectations for himself, but the fans have expectations that are higher than probably he has. You know what I mean? They think that he's going to be you.
Well, the fans need to stop.
Right, of course.
Need to stop. So what's the new standard then?
The new standard is the tackles aren't nearly as good as they were back in his day. And me and Osher were talking about that before. There were five guys in your day. Five of them. You, Ogden, Rofe, Jones, and Pace. And the current tackle group right now isn't all of them. They're not even in the conversation with that group. And they all played the same era. All of them. So think about that. Nobody. Ryan Clady, Tyron Smith, they're not in that same group. They're not there yet. Joe Thomas, no. So the tackle play, and it's a mystery, is because you guys were asked to do so much more. Why has the tackle play around the National Football League, particularly the all-important left tackle spot, deteriorated?
I'll say this. I was watching college football the other day. All the spread stuff. They don't ask guys to do anything.
They shield and stuff, right? Tap, pass, and tap, right?
So I think you have to train guys how to play the position when they get to this level.
But, Tony,
and you don't have the time with guys like you used to.
But Quandro and Pfluger are two guys that came from Alabama, which does play. They should step in and be
on. Pfluger's pretty good.
He's okay.
Good right tackle.
Yeah, but where's the left tackle?
But he was a right tackle. He was a right tackle at Alabama.
No, he was the left.
He was on the right.
No, Pfluger.
Pfluger played left tackle at Alabama.
No, he's a right tackle.
Yes, he did. He played left tackle at Alabama.
We'll look it up.
And then he moved to right tackle.
We've had so many go through there, I've forgotten.
Quandro didn't play left tackle until after Pfluger left. That's exactly how it was.
All right. I don't know.
And I thought he looked more like a right tackle.
Pfluger is a right tackle.
Right. But, again, you come from that style of offense, pro system, you should be able to play step in and learn and play left tackle. They just, for whatever reason, they're just not as good anymore. They're not. Tyron Smith came from USC. Now, he's very good.
He's good.
But he ain't in the class of you guys. Maybe that was just a golden era of offensive tackles. I don't know.
Which everyone's really looking forward to that repeating itself.
Let's get one more call in before the break. Which topic you want to go? Offensive line?
Just the loss? Close your eyes. Just close your eyes and hit a button.
Oh, let's go with
one eye open.
Tori in Orange Park wanting to talk about the loss. What's up? Tori, how are you?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
I had two questions. I really wanted you guys to kind of give me a little insight because I went to the game yesterday, and it seems to me we abandon the run when we get in the red zone, and it seems like when we're on a tear, you know, running the ball, it's like we just leave it alone. That was one of my questions. And the other question is, it seems to me Bortles, he kind of seems like he's forcing the ball to shorts. I think a lot of the other receivers, you know, he's going to have to try to spread that around because three out of the last four picks that he's thrown, he's been trying to force the ball to shorts, and I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. Maybe you guys can give me some insight on that.
Well, thanks for the call. It sounds like Leo called again about running the ball.
Spread the love, you're saying. That's what you want. You want to spread the love.
Yeah, it looks like they're spreading it out, though.
Yeah, how were the targets yesterday?
Allen Robinson had 10 targets, 5 catches. Cecil Shorts had 8 targets,
so
3
catches. Stop there. Okay. So the whole argument's out the window because they targeted Allen Robinson more than Cecil Shorts.
Correct.
Okay, so let's put that to bed. So a lot of times perception is not reality, and that was the caller's perception.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, I haven't looked at the statistics, so the caller might be right. Maybe they aren't running the ball as much in the red zone.
Tori is the caller.
Tori, yes. I couldn't think of his name. Tori. And so you might be correct. I don't get that sense. It's not my perception watching or calling the game that they abandon run in the red zone, but not having the statistics, I'd have to go back and look at it. So I'm not sure.
Well, there you go. We'll take a timeout on Jaguars Monday. When we come back, the Copy Facts face-off. These two guys have no idea what
mystery.
The topic is tonight. The mystery topic begins tonight. And registration for the 2014 Junior Roar of the Jaguars pregame performance is now open. Girls 6 to 17 years old eligible for the performance November 30th before the Jags host the New York Giants. Includes a 3-day clinic taught by members of the Roar. Visit the Roar Cheerleaders page on Jaguars.com or call 904-633-4671 for registration. Copy Facts face-off after this. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Yes, it does. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Vaselli.
I'm looking forward to this new format.
Yeah, let's get to some injuries first. Remember, Luke, that's okay.
I was excited.
Stand by.
I'm pumped, JP.
We'll get to
Let's go!
Will Blackman has a fractured index finger. Yeah, he's done for a few weeks at least. An extended period, they say.
Where is the fracture? Do we know? Because I thought you could play with a broken finger. It must be down like
it's
in the hand.
Somewhere, yeah. He didn't show exactly where today, but I don't think it's up in the digit itself.
Yeah, I think in the digit you probably could play. It must be like the index down like in the meat of the hand somewhere that you have to
club it up.
We'll see.
I mean, I don't know.
So there's some options there.
So what happens if he doesn't play? Who plays?
Could it be Martin moving to nickel? Could it be Peyton Thompson, who was just signed
somebody
the other day?
Maybe Grotz.
One of those guys.
Grotz at nickel,
how
maybe?
How far away? When is Colvin coming off?
He could come off at any time.
How far away is he?
They haven't said it. They're quiet.
He practiced last week.
He took a week off. He had a day off.
A couple days off, you know.
I don't know.
He's eligible to come back.
And what's the word on Alan Ball?
No true word on that today. So
I mean, if he comes back, maybe you put Grotz inside. I'm not sure.
Be interested.
Yes, that's a question mark. Of course, Luke Jokel with a concussion. They'll find out more on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And that's just black
and white. I think he'll take the test tomorrow, and then that starts the clock.
Isn't that odd for – I mean, I guess it isn't, because remember Chris Dielman had a seizure on the field one time from a concussion. Did you get hit in the helmet a lot?
All the time.
Did you have concussions?
Not that – I mean, I was talking about some people before the game about this, and when I say this, no one take this as not – I mean, I also talked to people on the sideline. He had a real concussion. I mean, he was like,
right.
I mean, he was not there, and he was very. I could tell. I saw him after the game. He was upset. But I don't remember ever guys on the offensive line getting concussions. Remember, I mean, I had one.
How'd you get it?
Yeah, how did it happen?
I got it on a, I think Brunel fumbled or someone fumbled.
Oh,
and
it, was
I,
it was a fluke play.
And I was chasing, and I was mad and dove into the pile right, trying to make a play and missed everything except for the ground, and so my head hit the ground first.
Well, that kind of thing is understandable. But as far as combat, with never, one-on-one combat, with
never.
Guy, never.
No, I got. I mean, you guys hit sometimes, and you're like, ooh, you know, shake the cobwebs there a little bit. But it's. I wonder if it's because there's so much awareness now, the guys are more sensitive to the concussion issues.
Well, they should be. They are.
Oh yeah, and I'm not. This is. Right. I mean, some people hear this. Oh, you guys were way tougher in the good old days. Well, maybe we're just dumber, and less informed. But I just don't remember. And that's why, and I watched the tape, and I didn't see any one play that stood out. But he obviously got hit just right or just wrong, I guess, in this case. And, you know, you got to be smart. And you can't, I mean, those are something you don't want to mess around with.
No, I can see where a guy, like an offensive lineman like you, got in a pile or covering, or chasing an interceptor down or something, or getting blindsided. Or
the whole concussion thing's a mystery to me. Like, I don't, I mean, and so you, like, something like that happens, but. Like, how do running backs not get concussions? I mean, the way they just get pounded.
Well, that for years, I kept saying, they kept saying, talking about taking away the collisions in the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. To me, and you'll vouch for this because you were in the middle of them, but the most violent collision of all is when a hole opens and a back gets through it and a safety comes running up and blasts them in the hole.
It's just...
I mean, that's... I mean, those things are...
I mean, I've been on the field before and there's been hits been made. I'm like, I'm not sure guys are getting up.
Yeah.
But and they pop up.
But you know what I'm talking about? When the guy thinks he's popping through the hole.
Oh, no, listen.
And then he comes, he's going full speed, and he's full speed.
Guys, I've seen guys get hit, and I'm honestly, I'm like, hmm.
I tell fans.
Somehow, I mean, the violence of the game is unreal.
I tell fans out there, so all the time, wonder, Tony, that put them on the field and let them stand there.
They want nothing
like,
to do
remember
with
we used to be able to go on the field after games and stand there? It's as violent and nasty as you could ever imagine.
And so I want, you know, and this has nothing to do with Luke now. It must be something you just get hit the wrong way. Because my guess is if you ask Luke, he's probably done that play 1,000 times, whatever it happened. And just the angle or the force. I mean, however it happened, it just – but I don't remember, but it you know.
Not to say it's the same thing, obviously, but in high school football, I'm sure your son plays now and stuff. There are hits you take. I remember taking hits where I had a headache after the game for a little while.
Oh, a couple weeks ago, my second son got – they pulled him out of the game for a mild concussion. He wanted to go back in, and they said
and
no.
And that night he had a headache probably when he went home.
Yeah, and now it's – even in high school, the whole concussion protocol, he had to get tested, had to go see the doctor.
You know what they used to do in your day and my day?
I remember when I played. I got a concussion.
Get back in.
I got a concussion the last play of the second half. It was right before halftime. Went in. I was – not there, and went through the thing, and I said, I'm playing. I'm going back in because Tom's like, what's the deal? Is he going or not? And the doctor's like, well, we're not sure. I'm like, I am playing the game. Like, well, you got to make sure and prove to us you're okay. I said, let me explain to you. I am playing the game.
Did you throw up from the concussion?
No.
Because sometimes you get them real bad.
Yeah, you get throw up. And I can't remember the test I did. I have no idea what the test I did was. And I think I missed one play. Because they were making sure, and I went back in there, and I wasn't right. Now, I'm not saying this because of some bad. I mean, it was just what you. I mean, because the education was there. You didn't even think. I mean,
well, you remember smelling? You remember smelling? Yeah, smelling
something. I mean,
stick them in your nose.
None of the doctors. I mean, I don't. And now players and my now some of the ex-players saying, "Oh, the suits. You should sue the doctor. You should." No, they wasn't malicious. They didn't. I mean, they didn't know.
They didn't know. They were uninformed. It's just like back in the day when you couldn't drink water on the practice field.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't know.
How stupid was that?
I wanted to go back in. They went back in. Nowadays, I would not have been allowed to go back in the game. They would have said, you're done.
Were you allowed to drink water on the practice field when you were in high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that had changed from when I was.
But there. Only at certain times. Not like now where there's water jugs everywhere and you get water whenever you want. It was like, once a practice. Okay, you can go get 30 seconds, get a drink, and come back.
That's all we had. Yeah. Once a practice. How stupid is that?
It's dumb.
It is time for the Copy Facts.
Now I'm ready.
Face off. New format tonight with Prisco leading 5-3 on the season over Baselli.
Halfway point.
This is the halfway point.
You're not in the playoffs yet. I'm in.
Soon the playoffs will be here. New format tonight. Neither Prisco nor Buscelli know the topic, and they'll have to pick a side once the topic
Who's
is named.
Who's going first?
I am tonight.
Okay.
Atlanta lost a 21-0 lead in London to the Lions. They lost the game 22-21, last-second field goal, to fall to 2-6. Should Mike Smith be back in Atlanta next year is the question.
Before we go there, am I correct? Because we were getting ready for the game. He missed the kick initially, but
yes.
they're delaying a
debatable delay of game. Yes.
They got to kick it again.
And he made it. Incredible.
Let me say this. Mike Smith is going to get fired. And I hate to say it because I like Smitty. And there's a chance that Thomas Demetrius is going to go out the door with him, who's the general manager. This is a owner in a franchise that has spent a bunch of money. I'm not always sure wisely. I think it's a deficient defense. Now, they've had a lot of injuries, but before the injuries, they had no pass rusher. They had all kinds of issues, and they have the last couple years, and they've tried to cover it up with this high-scoring offense. But now with the injuries to the offensive line, they're not very good on that side of the ball either. It's a franchise that has a franchise quarterback, one of the best receivers in football, the best number two receiver in Roddy White, meaning he's a number two. In a lot of teams, he'd be a 1B. And they were a drive away from the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And the question now, and I think the conversation is, did they miss their window with this group? And in the unfortunate world of the NFL and how this thing works, Mike Smith is going to lose his job, and they are going to scratch this thing and clean slate it. He will be fired.
You can't
win. Unfortunately, I think it's the right move.
The question is, should Mike Smith be back in Atlanta?
I just answered it.
Okay.
You said no.
Under the circumstances, no, I think you got to start over. Okay. And I hate to say that because I like Smitty.
Okay. And I like Smitty, and I know Smitty, and I've known him a long time. Used to come on and do Smitty's Corner on my radio show every Friday.
Right.
Should he be fired? No. And here's why. They've had so many injuries over the last two seasons that it's mind-numbing. And I'm talking about injuries on the offensive line. They're down to their third center, who is an undrafted free agent. Their right tackle out for the year. They've played three games where the left tackle has been hurt. The left guard hadn't been on the field. So they were down four offensive linemen. A year ago, they had boatloads of injuries on both sides of the football. Julio Jones, can't play football without your star wide receiver. The Cincinnati Bengals are learning you can't move the football when you don't have your star wide receiver. Roddy White was hurt for half the year last year. Move forward to the defensive side of the football. Sean Weatherspoon's their only true real playmaker on the defensive side of the ball. The last two seasons, he's missed the majority of them. He's out this year for the entire year. The secondary, William Moore, has missed a lot of time this year. He's their top safety back there. Yes, they've made some personnel decisions. They haven't addressed pass rusher. To me, that's been a lot. They've addressed it in the draft. They keep drafting these guys and keep saying that they're actually going to be pass rushers, and they never materialize. Although, I'll say this, Massaquah is getting better. But to answer your question, should Mike Smith be fired? The answer is no.
That's it?
I mean, listen.
That's all you got?
What else do you want me to say? They're 2-6. In the NFL, you get fired when you're 2-6.
And you know what? They're a game and a half out of the first place in that division.
Then they're losing games in ways that they should win. And it's happened the last couple
Your
years.
Your time is up.
Wow. Pete Prisco. I don't like the new format, by the way.
I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't fire him either, but I misheard the question. I thought it was.
I was wondering what the heck was going on here.
I got an insurmountable lead through 9 weeks.
I wouldn't have fired him either. I wouldn't fire him. And with all the injuries, I thought the question, is he going to be fired?
Change in format, got it.
Yeah, you got me. I agree with Pete. I mean, it's not the coaching issue. If anyone be under the heat more is Thomas Dimitrov because some of the personnel decisions.
Correct.
And so I would actually have played the Arizona fight song there as well because I wouldn't fire Smith.
Not Arizona. It's Arizona State.
Whatever.
They're right.
They're the same.
They
don't do anything.
Run the table, play for the national championship. Yeah, USC has no chance.
By the way, what happened to USC in Salt Lake the other day, for the record?
Can't finish.
What was that? They had. I didn't see that game.
It was a weird play at the end.
Rub play again.
Yeah. And it got called?
They didn't get called.
Didn't get called.
Yeah,
in Utah.
Picked the guy.
Yeah.
But listen,
Utah
shouldn't have never been in that situation.
Utah plays ASU this week in the Pac-12. They only have one loss too.
Yeah.
If ASU runs the table, playing for we'll be in the Final Four. That's all I got to say.
Get beat by Alabama.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, bring it.
Of all the SEC teams, I wouldn't want to play Alabama. I'd go play Mississippi State and Mississippi. I'll tell you that now.
Ole Miss ain't going to be there. Because
Georgia, too. I play them, too.
Well, now, if Ole Miss and Alabama both finish with one loss, Ole Miss will be there ahead of Alabama.
No, because Bama plays Miss State and Auburn still.
Doesn't matter. They won head-to-head.
That's what's wrong with college football. Matter. You're hitting it right on the head.
It doesn't matter.
That's stupid.
Right, because Mississippi won out. And Alabama won out.
Ole Miss has to play Mississippi State too.
Right.
But if Mississippi wins out, they would win the West.
Stop. I don't even want to get into this.
They would win the West.
This is we're getting to a college.
Yeah, but it's fun though. We talk football.
But if Ole Miss and Alabama both win out,
well, they won't because they play each other.
No, Ole Miss and Alabama both win out.
Right.
Ole Miss goes to the SEC championship game.
Right.
And that's why they'll go to the Final Four above Alabama.
Correct.
But Alabama will still get probably fourth.
If they both
win out.
It depends what else happens.
Beat number one Mississippi State?
If Oregon wins out and Michigan State wins out, I could see the selection committee, especially year one, going a team from the Big Ten, Pac-12, and
– Big Ten. Nobody for the Big Ten.
Well, if Michigan State wins out, Oregon State wins out, Florida State wins out, it'll be Florida State, Michigan State, Oregon in the SEC championship.
What if ASU wins out and they beat Oregon in Pac-12?
Yeah, I think they're there.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll have to look forward.
That means I'll have beaten Notre Dame, too, by the way.
Yeah, that's the first time I agree with you, Joe. He won that college fact.
Wow, yeah, you got burned.
I missed
New format, man. Hey, you asked for it.
Yeah, I did. I blew it. That was bad.
He doesn't have the script in front of him. He can't get it.
That was bad.
Your talking points. You evaded you tonight. Helmets and Heels Radio tomorrow night. Jessica, Lauren, Donna, and Blythe will talk Jags and the NFL from the unique and strictly feminine perspective. 2 hours tomorrow live from Jackson Social in Jacksonville Beach. JT Thomas will be the special guest. Tomorrow at 7 on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. We'll look around the National Football League after this. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars Monday rolls along. Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco here, JP Shadrick with you. Glad you've joined us tonight.
Next week we'll be in London.
We will be in London. We'll be west of London at the Grove.
Is that up by near Wembley, isn't it?
It is way past Wembley.
Past Wembley.
It's about an hour into central London. So we're almost at the big highway that goes around outer London is where this place is.
Out there?
Yeah.
What do you got to do for the NFL?
I got some sponsorship stuff and just NFL appearances and stuff like that. So I'll be taking – so I'm not staying at the team hotel. I'm staying where the sponsors and business people are.
Downtown.
Yes. So I'll be taking the tube – out to the Grove.
Being over there, you've been there before.
Yeah.
Do they like American football, the London crowd? Are they
understand? I think more and more. It's still, I mean, listen, if you open up the London sports page, it's soccer, it's cricket, it's rugby, and somewhere at the back page in about a 6-inch column you get the NFL until game day.
Yeah, it's the middle of Premier League season.
Yeah, so everything is soccer.
Soccer.
I don't know what that
is. Don't look at me. You looked at me like I was from Mars.
Well, I know what it is.
It's all soccer.
Right. I understand.
Soccer,
that.
I mean.
Is Fulham in the Premier League?
No, they got sent down.
They got sent down.
Oh, that's right.
They got deregulated. Or regulated.
They play Saturday, though.
There's some teams in the NFL that are lucky they don't do that.
But now is Pete going to be on with us? Are we
I'm here.
Yeah. So next week,
how are we doing next week?
Situation next week. You and I will be at the Grove from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. London time. And Pete will be here in this studio in Jacksonville.
Still? Oh, yeah, I'll be up. We'll be rolling.
And we'll all be live together. I think Logan will be with us.
Is Logs going to do the show, too?
Logs is going to be with us
in London.
It'll
be a four-man show.
Oh, it'll be big. It'll be big.
That's a little much.
So, in other words, I won't be able to get a word in edgewise.
No, we'll be smart with you.
Yeah, we might. Yeah, here and there.
I'll be like Frangie on Sundays in the booth.
Yeah, close.
Can't get a word in edgewise with you two in there.
Yeah.
Let's look around the National Football League from Week 8. We mentioned the Falcons boy, they lost a 21-0 lead. That was a weird ending to that game. The delay of game, how does the offense get rewarded for a delay of game?
Well, I got a couple questions to ask Tony about this because I watched the whole – because we go on at 11 down there and the game's being played. We got it on and everything.
What do you – I mean, before you go to it, is this the future of the NFL yes. playing in – how are the ratings for that game?
That's – they haven't come out yet, but when they come out, everybody loves it.
If they're
it
high ratings, huge, yeah. it'll be yeah. –
breakfast and football, right?
It was great. It was fantastic. You wake up, you got a game on, and then it leads right into the pregame and then another game. It was great. So I think they'll do that seven, eight times a year. And if you get a team in London, you'll do it when they play over.
This is the second game. Both games, the early games this year in London, have both been early, right?
No. This is the first one.
It was great. I loved it. But
the Jags game is going to be at 1.
Normal time.
Yeah, I want to ask you this. 21-0 at the end of the half, they get the ball back with over a minute and so and about 30-yard line, and Mike Smith ran out the clock. What would you have done there? Would you have taken your 21-0?
How many times do you have?
He has a timeout. I had two, I think.
And where did you get the ball?
I think it was like 20-something.
A little over a minute?
Yeah.
Let it go, baby.
Try and get more points?
Go score.
I think I would have, but I've
asked today, around. In today's NFL, look at how many leads have been given up and how teams can come back and the way that defenses are regulated, how they are regulated as far as contact and everything else, I'd go score points.
I'm with you. But some people said they understood you take your 21-0 lead. If you turn the ball over, you get them back in the game, make it 21-3, 21-7, you get problems. So I see. Okay. But you have Matt Ryan, so I would have done that. Late in the game, he's got
Julio Jones.
Well, I'm going to bring up Julio Jones because he had a third down. They got the ball back. They're up because they went for a two-point conversion in Detroit and missed.
They missed. I saw that.
So they got the ball back. They converted a third down.
By the way, that was a terrible non-call on that two-point
yes,
try,
too.
Yeah.
But they had a third down, but there was also a pick rub on that, too, so it would have been all of a sudden. They had a third down. He throws a slip screen to Julio Jones. He gets about 14 yards on the first down, so keeps the drive going. Well, they get to a third down again. The Lions have no timeouts left. They had run a play holding, so it stopped the clock, right? So they can't run the clock. So then it's third down.
Third and what?
Third and... It got to third and 10 or 12, 11 or something.
Third and 11, let's say. How much time?
Minute 50.
Okay.
No timeouts for the Lions.
Okay.
He throws a slip screen to Julio.
And he drops it.
He dropped it.
And you run the ball. Hand it off and run it.
And make it go down to minute five and
then
punt him in.
Yeah. Kick it deep and play defense.
I tend to agree with you.
No, that's a no-brainer. You don't throw the ball there. You run it.
I agree with
you. You don't do anything where the clock
but
can stop.
Some people said this, too. You're getting the ball, quick screen, easy throw into the hands of your best player.
Yeah, so easy they dropped it. You gave him an extra 40 seconds.
He dropped it. So is that?
So how much time was left on the clock when they kicked the field goal?
Well, the Lions kind of botched the end of it, too. They could have had a lot more. It was even worse. And that's been overlooked because they made the kick. They were at like the 35 or 30 or something. It was making a 48-yard field goal, and they kept like running little dive plays into the line, letting the clock run down instead of trying to get more yards and make it a more manageable field goal. They deserved to miss that kick. They got away with it.
Great display of game management for our British counterparts there in London, it sounds like. The Texans went into Nashville and beat the Titans 30-16. Mettenberger made his debut. 299, two touchdowns for Mettenberger. Now, yeah, you're a Mettenberger guy.
He was okay. Did you see what happened with his J.J. Watt calling him out after the game? What do you think of that?
Who cares? Yeah. I mean, JJ, let a guy get ready how he wants to get ready.
Yeah,
I mean,
why is that
just because
JJ's
not everyone's, you know, going in, going to a monastery and working for 6 months a year or doing who knows what.
Wasn't that odd?
I mean, let everyone prepare. Listen, one thing I learned about being in this league and being around it a long time, everyone prepares differently. And I'm not signing off on it, but there's – you get around guys, and especially and big-name guys from – forget this team. There are certain guys that like to tie one on and have a good time.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And would come out
– show up and work.
If you can perform the next day.
Came, right? I'm not saying it's okay. I mean, I don't know how they did it, but I've heard many of stories – and let guys get prepared.
Lawrence Taylor.
Let guys get prepared how they prepare to play.
But don't you think it's odd that J.J. Watt's calling out a guy on another team?
Yeah,
like
I think
that?
I don't like it. And I like a lot that J.J. does. I don't like that, though.
What if he called you out when you were playing?
It depends. Did because him and I would be going against each other. Right, so it would be different. So yeah. After I blocked him and held him without a sack, I'd say, let's keep
it. Keyword, held him.
Yeah.
Oh, I held that all the time. You kidding me?
Everybody holds.
Yeah, I mean, come on. And then I would tell him that maybe he should worry about his preparation.
There you go.
If he beat me for two sacks, I'm like, yeah, maybe I should look. I'll try a different approach next time. So it all depends how the game went.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is if Mettenberger becomes what they might think he is, he's going to be in the same division with him for a long,
how'd he look? I didn't see
in the
it.
Second half, he looked okay. Mettenberger made some nice throws. I mean, he was inconsistent early on, which you expect from a rookie quarterback, but he made a couple of nice throws in the second half. But if he is their quarterback, they're going to be in the same division.
Yeah,
for a long
it
half.
All depends. I mean, if you listen, I'm just telling you, if I played against, I blocked him and he didn't do anything, I'd say,
well, you saw what he did. He took a selfie.
Yeah, I know. So, I'd say maybe you should, you should try the way I prepare.
The funny thing is if I'm Mettenberger now going forward, if I play him again and I throw a couple darts and beat him, I'm next.
You know what
I'm
would do?
I'm taking a selfie.
No, you know what I would do?
What?
If I was Mettenberger, especially because you're the quarterback, I would take a selfie the day before the game and I would tweet it. I don't know if JJ was on Twitter or not, but I would ID him on it and say, hey, just getting ready for the game. I'd go right back at him.
Yeah, but
as an offensive lineman, I go to my quarterback and say, "Will you stop getting this guy more ready?
But
leave him alone. Let's send him cookies and flowers and everything else to get him nice and
relaxed."
You know
what I would do? What I would do is if I threw a couple BBs for touchdowns and beat him.
Yeah.
Toward the end of the game when the clock was running down, I'd say, hey, JJ, come on over. We'll take a selfie together.
it all depends what side you are on the wins and losses and the one-on-one battles of winning or losing and really how you can react to that.
Your guy Russell Wilson threw for 199 and a fourth quarter touchdown. Seahawks are now 4-3 with a win over the Panthers. Really an ugly ball game.
Bad. It was 139 yards until the final drive, and he had an 80-yard drive. I give him credit for it.
That's your guy.
It was an 80-yard drive, and he accounted for 81 yards because they had a 5-yard penalty in the drive. Was 5 for 5 in the drive for 60 yards and ran for 30.
I'm not sure how good Seattle is right now.
Boy, I tell you what. I'll say this. They got two sacks from Bruce Irvin in that game, which they needed to get. They weren't getting any pressure from the edge. That looked like they took a step in that direction.
Yeah.
Carolina, not that good. Has a losing record atop the division.
That division is awful.
And here comes New Orleans this week on Thursday night.
Because
who wins that game?
Where is it at?
Carolina. Outside. Oof. Thursday night.
I think I like Carolina, bro.
Well, I don't know. Tough game. New Orleans looked good last night.
Patriots
they always look good at home.
Patriots are red hot. Tom Brady's okay at quarterback. Still 5 touchdowns, 3
to
Gronk.
You mean they didn't cut him?
No, they didn't. And
remember that old crap?
You're going to reevaluate the quarterback position.
And
I don't
Gronk
think so.
Is back.
Everybody's
did you see
fine.
Gronk yesterday, 3 touchdowns?
He's a great player when he's healthy.
Oh, my gosh. He was knocking people off him and everything.
But the key is when he's healthy, and it hasn't been enough in the last 3 years.
Since Brady was benched. You remember they called him the benching again when Garoppolo came in
right
against
after the Chiefs game.
14 touchdowns, no interceptions. 14 and none.
Maybe Belichick knows what he's doing. Maybe
but forget about Belichick.
I know what I'm saying. Maybe it was –
his line's playing better, too.
And Brady's the ultimate competitor. I mean, I think he probably won.
And the other side of that is they play the Broncos this week.
Where?
In New England. Last 4 games, Peyton Manning, 14 touchdown passes and 2 interceptions.
Wow. And there could be some bad weather for that game, too.
Denver's the better team.
Denver is the better team.
It could be weather for that game.
Snow.
Bad weather,
it's supposed to be snow.
Interesting.
If it snows, I'm picking Brady and the Patriots.
If it snows, it favors the speedier team, though, and that's the Broncos.
Yeah, but I always worry about Peyton with his grip.
But
and
is it
the
wind?
Ball.
Is it windy? That's
yeah,
the key.
Yeah, I worry about his arm strength sometimes in the weather.
We'll finish with this one. Roethlisberger threw 6 touchdowns. Steelers hammered
before
the
you
Colts.
Go there, I'm almost embarrassed I just said that. Here I'm questioning, Peyton Manning has how many touchdowns this year?
Yeah, well, he's 22.
Yeah, 22. You're saying, I wonder how his arm strength is going to be good enough in the weather.
And he did go to the Super Bowl in Denver last year.
Yeah, I mean, so maybe I should shut up.
Steelers hammer the Colts or the Steelers back quickly.
Well, no, Sunday night they play the Ravens.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll wait and see.
All right. Not only does JTA offer stadium shuttle service to all Jaguars home games, they have a single game passes available for the Tax Slayer Bowl and this week's Florida-Georgia game. That is this week. For more information, visit JTAFLA.com or call 630-3100. We'll wrap up Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio. A ticket to a Jags game is more than just a seat. It's a chance to create unforgettable memories with your family. Experience a Jags game for as low as $130 for a family of four. Kids 34 inches and under and Pete Prisco are free. Fans can bring their own
food. In.
Youth seats available. Jags Giants coming up November 30th. Jaguars.com/more or call 633-2000.
So, not next week, because next week we're going to be in London doing the show.
That's right.
Pete will be here. The following week, we're going to be really fresh for that show.
That's right, because we'll be back at 9 in the morning.
10 in the morning, and we'll do the show that night.
That's right.
Joe, what we're going to do, so 2 weeks from tonight, JP and I are going to have a read-off on the cards.
Okay.
Because like I'm better than he is.
You think
at
so?
Reading the cards. Well, I'll just say
are we going to start a new scoreboard over here?
We can. Okay. Because, and we'll start with this. Unbiased, Joe. Tell the truth. The one card I've read this year is the official card, the Goldfish card.
We've had everybody read that card. JP, you read it. Gus read it. Okay. And Loggy reads it.
Okay.
You have read it the best.
So I'm one up on JP right
what
now.
What is the I mean, what do we?
Well, you know what you ought to do? Have JP read the sport code ad, and we'll see who does that one better.
I'll get it right.
There's no way you could be worse. There's no way you could be worse.
Monday Night Football tonight in Dallas. The Cowboys welcome in the Washington Redskins, and this should be a boat race.
It used to be a good game, not anymore.
Yeah.
Colt McCoy.
I mean, kidding me. How do you end up with Colt McCoy as your starting quarterback? Well,
because Kirk Cousins is who we all thought he was, or at least I thought he was.
Yeah,
he's played himself into nothing. Mm. Isn't that funny? It's like the myth of a player, and then you play yourself
literally
into something.
Literally 5 weeks ago, he was.
Well, last year, he certainly was, and I kind of saw it last year. But
5 weeks ago, after played the Jaguars, he was the guy. Get rid of RG3. What are you going to do with RG3 after the season? Because we got Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And now he's on the bench for
Colt
McCoy.
You can trade him for a first-round pick.
I mean, you gotta be kidding me.
How quick does it change?
And guess what? As soon as RG3 comes back, he'll be the starting quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If he was ready tonight, he was going to
start. Exactly right.
He's certainly inactive tonight already. Yeah. They've already announced that.
So who's going to win, Pete?
Dallas.
Yeah, easy.
Dallas plays Arizona next week for a big game.
Great game. Arizona, yeah. God, they just... Bruce Arians.
Carson Palmer.
Coach of the year.
Bruce Arians is coach of the year right now.
A week from tonight, Tony, you and I will be in Hertfordshire, England at the Grove Golf Resort, 18 miles away from Piccadilly Circus, northwest. Queen Victoria used to weekend there, apparently.
Well, yeah, we talk about that all the time. Yeah.
Keep the fellas out of the pubs.
We'll try to.
Really, we need to keep JP out of the pub.
I may or may not be there
on Monday.
He didn't come home with a black
eye. I'll be there.
He didn't come home with a black eye last year.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Are you going to go... Are you going to go to the pub before the show next week?
No, sir.
Because it's
11.
No,
sir. No. We can't do
that.
There's
been rumors.
No.
There's been rumors.
There was a class in Tuscaloosa I read where you can't do that before a show.
Well, they do it all the time in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, well, I don't do that.
What, have a beer?
Joe will be at the pub before the show.
Yeah, Joe might be.
You can't go to the pub before the show.
No, you can't do that. Can't do that.
I'm not going to, but I'm worried about JP.
Well, don't worry about me.
What are you trying to say? You might sound better.
Tony, I'll see you in
good
England.
Good point. Maybe I should try.
Pete, we'll talk to you
have
from
fun,
England.
Fellas. That's going to be a nice 12-hour flight for you. I feel for
it's
you.
It's not 12 hours,
from,
you moron.
From Cincinnati, he said.
It's not 12
He said you leave
hours.
At 9 and you get 9.
Yeah, there's a time
there's
change,
a time
Pete.
You're
there's
a
five
moron.
Extra hours,
seriously.
Dude.
9 hours.
It's not a 9-hour flight either.
All right.
From New York, it's about 7.
No, it's not. It's like 5.5 from
now,
New York.
Now, coming back, it's 10 or 12 hours.
It's longer
because you're
coming back
than
going to the wind.
I know that.
Come on.
Well, you just said it's 12 hours going there.
He said it was 9 hours.
No, it's a 10. Leave at 9 p.m. You get there at 9 a.m., but there's a 5-hour difference. Do the math. 12 minus 5, it's 7 hours.
You said 9.
I did not say 9. I said 9 a.m.
No. Pete, you're really a moron.
No,
you are.
Yeah, you are.
I agree with Tony.
You're a short, fat moron.
You're a big, giant, headed, browed, Kyle Korver-looking dummy.
I'm older than Kyle Korver. He looks like me.
There's a new tradition of the last moments of the show is to insult each other, and we go over to timeout with Fat Tony and Paul Spicer.
I need a timeout.
What's up, guys?
There we go. Yeah, hot how long our flights takes at the end of Jaguars Monday.
Well, you know, but the problem is because Pete is so uncultured. He's only left the country multiple times, but he only goes to one place, and it's Aruba. He has never literally been outside
Bahamas,
the
Bahamas, Jamaica.
Yeah, he still travels
Aruba,
by train.
Aruba, Jamaica. It's like one of those songs, a cocktail.
But he has never been to another country outside of the Caribbean.
Correct.
Yeah, and so he's very uncultured.
Yes, Canada.
Wow.
And Canada. Really don't forget Canada.
He just dropped Canada on us.
Yeah.
That's a
Tony, I wanted to ask you, because I know you've watched the tape on the game already. Luke Jokel goes out with the concussion. How did Josh Wells look coming in? I know it looked pretty good to the naked eye, but watching the tape, how did he hold up?
He was solid. You know, better in the run. He did some really nice things in the run game, actually. And he had a couple. Mental error that stood out. He got confused on who the back had, who he had. And then he was going against a very good pass rusher in Olivier Vernon. And he gave up, you know, pressure here or there. He gave him a sack that actually was nullified because of a defensive penalty on a really good spin move by Olivier Vernon. But I'll tell you what, for the limited reps he got in the practice, the fact is he's a rookie free agent who was not expected to play. It gives you a lot of confidence that this guy has the ability to be a pretty good player. So I thought he did a good job, especially when you factor in what he was asked to do.
And real quick for you guys before we let you go, what was the bigger surprise for you? Especially, I guess it's a combination of the last 2 weeks, but with the injuries on the defensive side of the ball, the way that the defense played yesterday despite those injuries, was that a bigger surprise, or the fact that they seem to have found their running game with Denard Robinson the last 2 weeks?
Robinson's a bigger surprise, I think.
Well, it wasn't a surprise last week because he's asking last week with the injuries to the defense or and them playing well or Robinson going
– back-to-back 100-yard game?
I would say – I mean, I think everyone had – at least I had a good sense that Robinson was – I mean, I didn't say he was going to go 100 again.
Right. Well, that's the surprise then. He went back-to-back 100-yard games.
Both were pleasant surprises, let's put it that way.
Right?
Hey, Pete, real quick, let me ask you, man.
Pete doesn't do anything real quick.
This is really a Tony question, but I'm going to ask Pete.
Oh, gosh.
Pete, what do you think? Is it the O-line or is it Denard Robinson when it comes to this running game, and why is it working in the past 2 weeks?
Both. Yeah, both. I think Robinson's learned how to run, and I think the line's played better.
Line has definitely played better.
Tony will always give the line the credit. You know that, Paul.
No, the line has played
better.
That's
why I asked you the question. Right. Don't even answer.
No, Denard is running the ball very well. He's seeing it better. He's setting up the blocks better. Right. I mean, it's both. I agree with you,
but,
Pete.
But what do I know? I got to go learn some culture from the Rube next to me.
Next time you go to Canada,
seriously,
let us know.
I don't have more culture than most people.
You have none.
But I have a lot more than you.
Yeah.
You just asked hours to fly to London.
I admit I have no – what, going to London makes you cultured?
More than –
Really? That makes you culture?
What makes you
How many
culture?
Museums do you go to when you go to London?
Tons.
Do you?
Well, good. Several of them.
If I went to London, I wouldn't go to one.
How many museums
I don't
have
like
you
art.
Been?
I'll be, none.
Have
Zero.
You ever been
Zippo.
To a museum in your whole life?
I got dragged to one once. Yes, once. I think art is like the biggest joke out there, if you ask me.
On that note, that is
did I say uncultured?
You
I
said
admit it.
It,
though. I don't care. I don't like art.
Okay.
Art doesn't art. Like you, Pete.
Tony likes art. That's Copy Facts Face-Off next week. That's it for Jaguars Monday. And... Time out begins right now.